Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We will get to a whole bunch of Ohio State and all that good stuff. Great, great Rose Bowl win. Completely thrashing the Ducks, which is absolutely outstanding. We will get to that a little bit later on. Kevin Savance will be live from Berea at about 1, 1.30. Somewhere in between there is typically when he does it. It's when practice wraps. He hops in, he'll give you who's active, who's inactive, and he's going to be asked about the piece that has been put out by Jeremy Fowler and Daniel Ofusi on ESPN, which is what we are going over right now. Jeremy Fowler will join us at 1 p.m. today to talk about this piece as well as we continue to go through it. We've been doing a lot on the Stefanski side. Stefanski being the focal point of this one. A lot of stuff coming out from a lot of this piece. The idea of moving on from... The idea of moving on from Van Pelt, Alex Van Pelt last year, quote, that was head-scratching to me, and ex-Stefanski aide said, they had a system that worked regardless of the quarterback, and one more than Cleveland had in a long time. For things to suddenly change, it doesn't strike me as something that he would want. Multiple Browns players told ESPN they were surprised by the decision with Van Pelt. It came 4 days after the season ended, while conceding the normal nature of NFL staff turnover from year to year. To maximize Watson was the idea behind it. Again, could run the system, didn't excel at it. A lot of people questioning the fit between Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski as well. I want to turn the page to the Watson side of this. Because you start looking into this a little bit further, and it's a multifaceted piece. And the Watson side of it also is really, really a fascinating problem that the Browns are in the middle of right now. Because a lot of people wonder what is left for the guy. An NFL coordinator in this piece said, I still think he's super talented, Deshaun Watson, this is. But it appears to be a neck-up issue. With the personnel stuff, football has become secondary, or personal stuff, sorry. You can't ignore the fan base. If they don't accept him, he'll never have a chance to improve. Yeah. That's an uphill battle. And it's an uphill battle for Deshaun Watson for many different reasons. It was a mess when he was brought in here. It divided the fan base like 60-40, 50-50, however you want to look at it. I kind of broke it into three separate groups when they brought Deshaun Watson in here. One of them was, woohoo, Super Bowl, let's go. Super Bowl winning quarterback, we're bringing one of the five best quarterbacks in football, let's roll. The second half, there was a chunk in the middle that was, I'm going to hold my nose. I don't like what took place. I don't like what's happening right now. It makes me feel queasy and uncomfortable. But I want the guy to succeed because I want the Browns to succeed. So I'm not happy, but I'm going to hold my nose. And then there was a chunk of the fan base who were out completely. And what has happened is then he has stepped onto the field and he's played poorly. I mean, let's face it, folks, he's played poorly. I don't think there's any way to really redeem a lot of it. And when you start hearing things like physically, I think he's there, but it appears to be a neck-up issue, I mean, that kind of tells you all you need to know right there. It's going to be a serious, serious uphill battle for him if that is, with that being the case. And to come back, and if a fan base isn't going to accept you, I mean, let's face it, we were all there when he started that game and the Nick Chubb comeback game and what took place in between, right? It's just a mess. And so the Browns right now, and in this piece they get a little bit further, quote, holding on, you know, they start talking about the conversation, holding on to him, keeping him inside of the, you know, keeping him inside of the building, saying you're not going to play him, all of those kind of things in between. Quote, holding on just because of the money will only prolong the inevitable. An NFL scout of the Browns quarterback decision. You saw what Denver did. They're doing okay. The Browns would just have to do that on a bigger scale. The working theory league-wide is the Browns keep Watson for one more year and foster competition with another veteran and draft pick, tightening the walls around Watson and forcing him to win the job. Another one of those as well in the piece, they go on to say that Kirk Cousins is really on the table for the Browns if he is a cheap enough option. The other part of it is, well, they say Jameis Winston coming back also on the table, according to lead sources. Again, and this is Jeremy Fowler, Daniel Afusi's piece in ESPN that's reporting all of this stuff. Folks, if you want to put Watson out there during training camp and have him compete for the job, fine. I just don't think moving forward, that guy is your answer. I think we have seen enough. I think the fan base has seen enough. I think everybody in between has seen enough. I don't think that is a path forward for this team. I think if you were to get truth serum into a lot of people involved, they will have seen enough as well. That's where I am. And I don't know. I don't want to rip the Band-Aid off, because if you rip the Band-Aid off on this thing and cut him, you flat out can't feel the team. It's 120 mil essentially on top of the cap. It is very, very hard for you to come in and go, all right, let's bring in more talent to help supplement Myles Garrett and supplement Denzel Ward and supplement Jerry Jeudy and, you know, build the offensive line. And like, you can't. You won't be able to. You will have to tear this thing down, and you're going to have to look at it. And I don't think a tear down is the way to go about this. I don't want to be in the business of trading Hall of Fame players. I don't want to be in the business of trading All-Pro players. I don't think that makes you better. I don't think any of that stuff, folks. I'm just being really honest with you. So I'm fine with it. Look, you want to bring Kirk Cousins in? Great. If you're not going to have to pay him, if he's going to get cut, you want to bring him in because he's your dude? Great. Remember, success with Kirk Cousins and Kevin Stefanski, that's from 5 years ago. Kirk's Cousins is older now. He's got his own torn Achilles issue. He's been working his way through. He's throwing picks left and right, and it looks like Father Time may have caught up to him. But if that's the direction they want to go, okay. That's the direction we're going to go. If they want to bring Jameis back, fine. I don't think Jameis wins you 10 games. I don't think Jameis helps you make the playoffs. I think Jameis is one of the best backup quarterbacks in football. I think Jameis puts you in a position where you can win a game he has to come into and maybe win a game or two after that to cover for a quarterback who needs to come in from there. Okay, fine. I'm in. I just don't know. I just really, really, really don't know. All right, Tom in Cleveland, welcome to the show, man.
Good morning.
Morning.
You guys were talking about at the last break, accountability.
Yep.
How many times have we, and let me finish, please.
No, I...
How many times...
Tom,
many
I don't run people. I refuse to do it. Unless okay. You're rude to me.
Well, I'm trying not to be. no, I forgot what the hell, my trend of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, so you were saying the penalties, Kevin Stefanski, accountability. Yeah, that's the direction you were going.
Three-step penalties. How many times in, I mean, you can count them, you might need three hands. How many times in a game do we get pre-snap penalties for illegal procedure, incorrect placement of your...
Illegal formations, yeah.
Exactly. And first of all, I don't go along with that crap they did in preseason where you don't play nobody. They need to play to get their reps, to get their self in game form. But you had Vrabel there, and everybody's been talking about Vrabel being a possibility. Why couldn't Vrabel walk up to Stefanski on the sideline and said, and I heard it mentioned, Tomlinson does it and everything. Sit the guy down and let him think about what the hell he did for a minute.
You know, that's a good question. You know what? He has yanked those guys. Like I need to go back and make sure. My guess is he has yanked those guys. We saw Juan Thornhill get yanked for dogging it down the sideline in the New Orleans game. So it's not like there's no discipline whatsoever.
That was after the play started. That was during the play.
Yep.
All I'm talking about is pre-snap. First, you get a first down. You get a pre-snap penalty instead of having the whole playbook to work with. Now you're forced to go into a throwing mode, and you wonder why they're throwing the ball 40, 45, 50 times a game instead of using a running attack, which would help you. You had runners who are averaging 4-point-something yards per carry. I don't know, in my book, you run the ball four times and they average four. Four times three is 12 yards. That's a first down with no penalties.
Is that new math, Tom, or is that old-fashioned math?
I had to use a paper and work it out.
Good man. Happy New Year to you, Tom.
Yep.
And you know what? I have had issues with Stefanski running the ball in the past, too. I've complained about it. I thought you should, especially in a too high shell world. You're watching a lot of teams around the league make their living in running the ball. I have watched Saquon Barkley. I mean, good golly, he's challenging Eric Dickerson. We're watching Josh Jacobs roll. We're watching Derrick Henry roll. We're watching the Lions with two running backs roll. I hope next year, whatever direction this ends up going, I hope next year there is a recommitment to the running game because it helps your quarterback and it helps everybody around him. Mike in a truck. How are you, man? Mike, you there, buddy? Hello? All right. Happy New Year to Mike. He's not there for us. Barry, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Dan. Going to be a little bit of a Jeff Phelps help to you here.
I already have an inner Jeff Phelps monologue in my life. I don't need one in real life, too.
There you go. There you go. You know, Jeff always has these stats, and I think you've probably had them before, but a lot of people forget them, and they need to hear them. In 20, we made the playoffs, and just as one bone or one note of contention or note of history here, I got my season tickets when Marty was coach.
Outstanding.
And this is my first year of not having them. But in 20, we finally make the playoffs. We're third in the league in rushing attempts. 21, we're fourth. 22, we're sixth. Last year, you know, without Nick, we're still 12th in the league in rushing attempts. My point is Kevin runs the ball. Kevin's offense is built around play action.
Absolutely.
And if you don't run the ball, you can't effectively do play action.
Absolutely.
So that's not the problem.
Though the analytics will tell you can run play action without running the ball. The analytics will tell you that one. But I get the point you're making, Barry.
He's doing the job that he needs to do. This year they're in the bottom one third, but you know they're throwing the ball 40 times a game because they're so
and you're behind,
yep. So often in so many games. But here's my last point. I would like to see Kevin, as long as he's here, get one shot with a quarterback he wants. I will never believe that he was all on board with Deshaun Watson. I would love to know when Kevin leaves here someday if he gives his real thoughts about Baker and what all happened in that transition from Baker. I think there were a lot of emotions and a lot of egos involved and all that and stuff. But Kevin, I want him to stay. And I'd like to see him get a shot with his own quarterback, be it a rookie, be it Cousins, or be it somebody. That's my thoughts.
That's a good point, Barry, and a happy new year to you and your family. I'm thinking the same exact way. And look.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
I just think the guy can coach football. I just do. And I think he can run the ball decently enough. And again, when you are, it's the best way, but when you're behind, it's really tough to run the ball. You watched it in the Boise State game. You saw how Penn State was able to handle it in the Boise State game. They got behind. Their most explosive player was a running back. They were trying to get Genty the ball as much as humanly possible. Penn State swarmed it to try to find that explosive play, to try to get all of those things. I get it. I wish they would run the ball more, folks. I do. I think that is the way to live in a too high world. And I think in the offseason, you will see some kind of a change. It stinks that it's going to take the offseason to get that kind of change. I wish it was during the year. But I think the guy can coach. And I would like to see him with Kirk Cousins and see what this whole thing looks like. Dan Manigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, I'm yanking the Band-Aid off. Let's go. Let's go, Ohio State. Let's go. We've put this off long enough because of the blasted Browns and their, you know, constant chaos. But let's go to somebody that wins. Pasadena, California. We're talking Buckeyes. We're talking college football playoffs next. Dan Manigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. It was outstanding. It was one of those games we all came in and every Buckeye fan was biting their fingernails. And I will come out and I will say it right now. I am an agnostic college football fan. I came very, very late to college football. I was a skeptic for a long period of time. And thanks to a very good friend of mine, I started watching and have loved it ever since. And so this game was, I saw a lot of outcomes for this game, folks. I thought it was going to be very, very close. I thought it was going to be back and forth. I thought a shootout might be on the table as well with the way that Gabriel and those wide receivers were playing for Oregon, the way they're able to run the ball on top of it. I thought Ohio State's offense was clicking as well. I was so impressed after that Tennessee game. I texted a buddy of mine and went, now this is what we were asking for. This is why everybody was as grumpy as they were with Ryan Day and why everybody was as grumpy as they were after the Michigan game, because this was on the table. And they roll into Pasadena. And they do it again. And I didn't think they'd do it again. With that banged up offensive line, Oregon getting healthy, I thought it was going to be a shootout. They come out, boom, Will Howard, deep ball, Jeremiah Smith, good night. Boom, Will Howard, another deep ball, hits Emeka Buka, good night. Like, it just clicked. Like, you wouldn't believe. Travion Henderson able to run the ball so well with him. 8 carries for 94 yards. Had that long run as well that was just a backbreaker on top of it in this game. It was awesome. This was the Buckeye performance that we were all dreaming for. This was the Buckeye performance that we all walked out of the Michigan game and all walked out elsewhere and just went, why don't they just throw the ball? Why do you lose your identity? Why don't you just whip it all over the place? You've got Jeremiah Smith. You've got Emeka Ibuka. Two guys who are going to be first-round picks when they come out there. Tate's got a really nice wide receiver on top of that. He'll find his way into playing on Sundays as well. There is enough talent on this team for that to be the case. And the offense came out and they just flung it. And it looked great. Will Howard, 17 of 28, 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. They buried him. Absolutely buried him in the first half of this game. I was blown away. And more than anything else, the offense is going to get a ton of the credit. And they should. The offense should get a ton of the credit. The defense of Ohio State in this game, I think is going to end up being the calling card. And what Jim Knowles was able to put together on the defensive side of the ball was just unbelievable. Dylan Gabriel in this game, 29 of 41 for 299 yards and two touchdowns. The completion percentage is there. The yards that he was doing, it was dump offs all over the place. He was dumping it off left and right to people. It was unbelievable. Everything down the field was covered. By the way, did anybody else feel like there were four Caleb Downs on the field at one point? Like, it felt like Caleb Downs was everywhere during that game as well. It was amazing to me watching him be able to go from sideline to sideline. It felt like I was borderline watching Derwin James, where it was just like, here's this guy who can go sideline to sideline and just wreak havoc. You could say the same, or Kyle Hamilton, if you prefer a more slightly more modern reference. Just sideline to sideline, causing absolute chaos. Oh, it was outstanding. It was everything that you wanted an Ohio State win to be. It was everything you wanted an Ohio State victory to look like, and it was absolutely fantastic. So, look, let's boil this all down to where everybody is on everything. Okay? This is the Ryan Day that we all wanted. This is the Ryan Day that we saw. Ryan Day built this team for this game. Ryan Day got all of the talent that you saw of the Jeremiah Smiths, the dual running backs in Junkins and Henderson. The you could throw Emeka Buka in there. You could throw Cardale Tate in there. You could throw all of that stuff, the defense as well. Bringing in Caleb Downs, paying him what they paid him to get him in here. Bringing in Will Howard. Transfer mark, you know, Kansas State, to build this, to look like this. This is what this team was built to do. As much as I think Ryan Day believes that he built it to beat Michigan, Ryan Day built this team to win a national championship. Ryan Day built this team with the idea that he is going to come home with hardware for Ohio State in this playoff, and he's going to be the first guy that wins this playoff. And frankly, they're the best team left. Top to bottom, the best team that is left on the playoff market. Outstanding. Outstanding. So 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter, if you so desire. Folks, I think this hammers Ryan Day. I think we could put this conversation to bed. I think every Ryan Day skeptic after just seeing a complete destroying of an Oregon team in Pasadena, California, I think we can put this whole firing conversation to bed. Ryan Day is not going anywhere. Ryan Day is a really good coach. He is smart. He understands how to recruit guys to win a national championship. And that's the goal. The goal is to win a national title. Blew me away watching this thing. Chip Kelly was on a heater. Day was calling a great game on top of that one. You know, getting guys in and out, making sure everybody was open. It just all clicked together. Jim Knowles' defense humming throughout the entire thing as well. They've got some talent on that side. We have known it for a good period of time, and boy, did it show up well. I mean, Simon was all over the place on top of it. That kid, the two sacks that he ended up getting in big parts of that game where there was maybe a half a second right there where everybody was starting to bite their fingernails a little bit. You know, okay, here's the Oregon offense we were waiting for. Here's the explosiveness. Here's everything like that. Nope. Cody Simon blitzed in, solved the day. Jack Sawyer was all over the place, swatting balls down, making life for Dylan Gabriel. It is the first time this season, frankly, Dylan Gabriel looked small. Dylan Gabriel looked like he was too small to play the position with Jack Sawyer running in there and those big old defensive linemen for Ohio State. They dismantled an Oregon team that I didn't think could be dismantled. I thought Dan Lanning did a hell of a job with that team. I still think Dan Lanning did a hell of a job with that team. But this is the Death Star. You've completed the Death Star. This is what we all thought this Ohio State Buckeye team could be. And it could just roll through. There's a reason why people picked them in the beginning of the season. And so, folks, I think the Ryan Day talk goes to bed. I think we could stop that one, send it off to the side, and we're good. I think the other one as well, and it needs to be talked about over and over and over again. Folks, a freshman wide receiver is the best wide receiver in the country. Jeremiah Smith's the best wide receiver in the country. and we had known this for a long period of time, and for the longest time had been screaming from the rooftops, just throw it up to that kid and let him go get it. Just let him burn people. Just let him go high point balls. Just let him go do everything that that kid can do so well. If he came out, he's a top five pick right now in a draft, if he could come out now. That blew me away. And the way that they moved him all over the place, and the way that they caused Oregon to have to communicate with each other and not be able to pick it up as Jeremiah Smith continued to just run free down the middle of the field as, you know, linebackers were trying to pass him off to safeties. Good luck, guys. I mean, good luck. You got to man that guy up. It was awesome. He is so talented. He is so unbelievable in this whole thing. Will Howard's ability to find him along the way, oh, it's all you want in the world. It is all you want in the world. So, folks, to me, Ryan Day is safe. And if he continues to do this, Ohio State Buckeyes are going to win a national championship, and they will be holding the trophy over their heads. I think it's that simple. This was a dismantling of the best team in football, or of college football, I should say, and another team going, nay, I am the best team in football. We have been the best team in football for a good chunk of the season. We just hadn't found ourselves. We just hadn't found our formula. The other part of this that I saw circulating all over the place, and I wonder if this might be the case too. I got a text from a buddy who's, you know, big Buckeye fan. The Michigan loss is the best thing that ever happened to this team. I wonder if that happening may have been the case. I wonder if that happening might have been the best thing that happened to the Ohio State Buckeyes, because it caused them to look inward and it caused them to go, what we are doing is not working. What do we need to do to make this work? Maybe get the ball in the hands of our best players. Maybe we need to focus more on limiting the amount of throws that Will Howard has, the mobility of Will Howard, and start using his arm more and start getting it to Abuka and start getting it to Jeremiah Smith and start getting it to Carnell Tate and start getting it to our wide receivers to then open up the run game and let Henderson and Junkins just go berserk. I wonder if that ended up being the case. And then Jim Knowles' defense just tightens up a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You get the tightening up of it. Just fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. And I wonder if that's the case. I wonder if them ending the season there, having that time in between where they could look at film and they could scout themselves and go, what do we need to do to get better? What do we need to do to build this up more? What do we need to do to become this unstoppable force that we all know we have the talent to do? They seem to have found it. They seem to have pieced it together. They seem to have made it work. And boy, oh boy, is it great to see. It is so much fun to watch a college football team at the peak of its powers. It is so much fun to watch a college football team go completely nuts and realize what they can do to make it better and for things to just click. And when that click happens, oh man, is it awesome. And I feel like we're on one of those right now. I feel like that Tennessee game was the moment we all saw the light switch flip, and the Oregon game was the opus that came after the light switch flipping. And it's just going to stay on. And so I'm beyond impressed. I'm beyond impressed with what Ryan Day has done. I think even he realized that he got absolutely outcoached in that Michigan game. And I think he looked inward and tried to figure out what he had to do to fix it and what he had to do to make it better. Folks, the Ohio State Buckeyes are here to win a national title. They're the favorite moving forward. And frankly, if they're going to continue to play like this, I don't know who's going to beat him. Kevin Stefanski, 1:30 today. Jeremy Fowler joins us at 1. Our buddy Chris Fedor at 12:40. Talk a little Cavs right at 12:20, 12:40. Dan Wetzel, high noon. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92 through the fan. Big piece on ESPN between he and Daniel Afusi about the Deshaun Watson situation. Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns in general, is a very good piece. It is worth a read. We were talking about it earlier this morning. And Kevin Stefanski will speak right around 1:30. So I would say lock in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll lead you right into Stefanski quite well. I'm Dan Menigan, in for Baskin and Phelps today. We're talking Buckeyes. We need something happy in our lives, and boy, the Buckeyes have done that. And more than anything, Jeremiah Smith has done that too. And it amazes me watching that kid. It amazes me watching his ability to run routes, to use his body, to look like a guy who should be a junior or a senior in college, or hell, even playing in the NFL right now, and how he is as young as he is. It is unbelievable how talented he is. The route running, the way he's able to high point balls, the way that he's able to do everything that you'd want a number one receiver to do. It just blows me away. It just absolutely blows me away watching him. I can't remember, like, look, Ohio State's had a lot of really talented wide receivers. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Marvin Harrison, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. We could then go to Alabama and all the wide receivers that they've spit out after, you know, over a good period of time. Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Amari Cooper. We could go to LSU, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Like, a lot of wide receivers have come through college, but I do not remember a freshman making this much of an impact. Like, I do not remember a freshman coming in and being this polished. He blows me away. And just the way that he has come in, and it was so funny because in the beginning of the season, I was talking to a buddy of mine who is a serious Ohio State fan, and he goes, you got to watch out for Jeremiah Smith. He's going to make a real impression. I'm like, he's a freshman. Like, there's a jump between high school football and college, and especially high-level Division I college football, Ohio State, all, you know, that kind of stuff. Big Ten football on top of that. He's like, dude, this kid can play. And he's right. And I'm still blown away. And I'm still impressed with every single thing he has been able to do. Just outstanding. Absolutely outstanding and unbelievable to watch this whole thing happen. And it brought up a really interesting... There were two interesting discussions that came out of this. One of them, my favorite discussion that I've laughed really hard at in a good period of time, and it was courtesy of the College Football Inquirer. Great podcast, Yahoo Sports. Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, Ross Dellinger. And they go, at what point does Michigan call up Jeremiah Smith and give him a whole boatload of money to just go to Hawaii and train? Not to play, just go to Hawaii and just go train. And I heard that and I just started giggling. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That kind of makes sense, because that might be the best way to beat him, is to just kind of make this guy go away. The other one that stood out to me was this morning on Get Up. They were talking about it on the show. Dan Orlovsky was talking about it. Mike Greenberg, everybody knows Get Up. And Dan Orlovsky had this to say when it came to Jeremiah Smith.
Number one pick wouldn't even be close. He would easily be the number one pick in this year's draft. You will have teams in 2 years for that 27 draft tanking for him.
For a wide receiver. Draft,
absolutely. He's that good. He's that talented. He is Julio Jones. His hips look like they're in their armpits. His armpits. I mean, he looks 6'5 just from his, you know, hips up down. I mean, he reminds me of Julio Jones. His physical frame reminds me a little bit of Calvin Johnson's. He would be easily the number one pick in this year's NFL draft. Okay. Easily.
I've heard this thrown around a good amount, too, that this guy is... would be the number one pick in the draft. He would be unbelievable. You see that stuff get thrown around. I don't know if I'm there. I think he's the most talented wide receiver in college football, though. Teams would tank to get him? Yeah. I don't know. Probably. I don't know if I would go that far. Because the problem is a wide receiver can make a hell of a difference. I mean, if you ask Joe Burrow, you're seeing what he's doing for T. Higgins right now, basically walking around telling anybody who will listen to him about how much T. Higgins matters to them and how much he needs T. Higgins in Cincinnati. Well, the guy on the other side is another one of those. I mean, Jamar Chase is a one-man wrecking crew. He's just insane, but he still needs Burrow to get him the ball on time, on target, and in space. It's the problem that I will always have with taking a wide receiver at one, is like you still have to throw him the ball. It's not like he can directly impact any level of the game just by himself. Yes, I know you could say, hey, they got to roll coverage to him. They got to double team him. They got to triple team. They got to move the safety over him. They got like I get that there's a gravitational pull that comes to having one of those guys. But man, this kid is something special. He's just something special. And I don't think, again, I don't think I'm tanking for a wide receiver at any given point. Because if you're drafting high enough, I don't think it's because you have everything in place except for one wide receiver. I just don't think you could have every single thing in place. except for one wide receiver. You probably need a quarterback. You probably need a left tackle. Like a lot of things. For you to lose a bunch of games, trust me, we know. We're Browns fans. We're in the middle of it right now. To lose a whole bunch of games in the NFL draft, you need a lot of stuff to go wrong. It's not just the quarterback. The quarterback going wrong, you can... that puts you like at a 500, slightly above, slightly below, slightly above 500 team if everything else is clicking. We saw it with Joe Flacco. We saw it with others. It kind of puts you in that position. If you look at the teams right now, so I can't say I'm tanking for Jeremiah Smith, but whoever ends up with him in 2 years is just got themselves a star. But more than anything else, let's take the half step back and just talk a little college football playoff as well. Because the Arizona State game was everything that we wanted this to be. You know, the Arizona State-Texas game, Cam Scataboo was just, again, you want to talk about a one-man wrecking crew? Holy mackerel, that kid was a one-man wrecking crew. Just his ability to take the ball at any position, throw it even at one point. As a wide receiver, as a running back, it just blew me away. And the fact that he was... let's see here, refunding on the sidelines at one point of it and then proceeded to rally and come back. I mean, good golly, if that isn't on a t-shirt in Arizona State, I give up. If you don't see, you know, puke and rally on a on a t-shirt in Arizona State, I would be blown away. And the fact that we're talking about him and not the fact that Texas ended up winning that game tells you all you need to know. This was a great game. This was must-see. That Peach Bowl was everything that we wanted the college football playoff to be. We wanted to see how these teams would go up against each other because we've had arguments forever. You know, the big prize was always the Rose Bowl at the tail end of it before we even had a national championship. And it was the big prize there, and we would sit there and go, boy, I wonder what it would look like if Ohio State took on Alabama. Well, now we could do it. Now if those are the two best teams, that can happen. And this college football playoff is doing it. Boy, Arizona State hung. And they hung like champs. I mean, that should impress you more than anything else of these people who are screaming that, oh yeah, it should be just the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody else is just a waste. Uh-uh. That Arizona State team told you a different story. And they should be proud of what they did against Texas. And on the Texas side, look, Quinn Ewers made some big throws when he needed to. He had a couple moments where he fell apart. But boy, oh boy, he made the right throws when he needed to make the right throws. And so, Quinn Ewers impressed me a little on that one. I don't know if I'm totally in the position where I think he is going to end up being like a top pick or anything like that in the NFL draft, but Quinn Ewers made some big boy throws in that game that were impressive. And it's sounding like he's going to, you know, we'll see if he hops into transfer portal or if Texas ponies up or anything like that in between there. Also, credit to Penn State. Penn State had a really good game. Abdul Carter leaves that game early. It was a bummer because a lot of people were tuning in from around here. They wanted to see Abdul Carter and actually pay attention to him going up against somebody else besides the Buckeyes when you have a rooting interest against his success. The kid's immensely talented. And kudos to Penn State and kudos to Drew Aller in that game as well. They took down a really good opponent. They completely scarfed up they completely just stop Genty, and it was so impressive to watch that take place. And stopping that kid was something to behold because, boy, if you watched the Boise State at any point this season, you saw how talented of a runner he was, and you saw why these top programs were wanting to give him $2, $3 million to come play for him because you saw it all season long. There was no Big Ten or SEC team would not want it, that kid. And he's going to be a high draft pick the same way we saw Bijan Robinson last year, and he's going to be awesome. And so you look at these games that took place in the second round, and we're going to get one tonight as well. Notre Dame versus Georgia. It's going to be down in Louisiana. It's sounding like Bourbon Street's going to be open right before them after the horrific terrorist attack that took place. And we're going to have that one today at 4 o'clock. We'll see what that ends up looking like too, but that's going to be a good big boy matchup of Notre Dame and Georgia. Folks, this is what we wanted. Is it perfect? No. No, it's far from perfect. We would all tinker little things in between there. I think instead of that game being in the Rose Bowl, we would have probably wanted the number one team to have a home game. I know it was Ohio State and Oregon, and I know Ohio State fans are going to go, no, no, no. But like, think about it for a second. If the shoe was on the other foot, you would want the Ducks in the shoe. So that's the only, like, there are things that we want to tweak here, but we're doing the right thing. And this is the right thing so far. And this is the best idea that they've had. And for the first time in my life, college football has decided that good is acceptable and not the enemy of great. Good can be tinkered to great. It's not we have to have great or we have nothing. And that's where I give college football a lot of credit because, boy, I have ripped them often for how they operate. And I have ripped them for a lot of things that they have done, and they have found something that's good. Does it need to be tinkered with? Yeah. But they're not letting good be the enemy of great. And I will be appreciative for that one. And hey, the first round was some busts. Okay, you're going to run into that. It's a 12-team playoff. We all walked in saying, maybe 7 teams can win this whole thing. 6 teams can win this whole thing. So you're going to run into that. And in other years, we're going to run in, especially as the portal continues. Other years, we're going to run in, and we might have 12 teams that can win this whole thing. We might have 10 teams who can win this whole thing as the talent continues to spread out throughout college football. This was awesome. This was everything I can ask for. The only thing that stood out that I think might be worth a discussion, if somebody would like to have it, and we'll see what tonight gives us. But the only thing is having 3 weeks off might not be the best thing for the teams that are the first seeds. And I don't know what the answer to that one is, because everybody will always take no football over football. You know, teams, I should say, when it comes to resting and wanting to get guys ready for these big matchups. They'll always take the week off. But you saw in all of those games of the higher seeds, they got off to slow starts. Ohio State was able to come in and just absolutely just blitz and go nuts against an Oregon team that looked like they hadn't played in 3 weeks. Penn State was able to get out on an early lead against Boise State. We all thought that Arizona State was done against Texas because they got off slow. We'll see what this looks like here. It's too small of a sample size for me to bang the table and say that that is the case. I want to see it for a couple more years before we all go, well, that might be the best thing. But it's one of those things that happened that I think is worth pointing out. It's one of those things that took place that I think we should all take half a second and go, okay, that's interesting. Maybe something to keep an eye on moving forward. Again, not the end-all be-all in any way, shape, or form. But I think it's one of those things worth noting that the teams that were coming off of that bye didn't exactly hit the ground running, didn't exactly click right off the rip. They started a little slow and had to rally from there, and they've ended up losing those games. I don't know. Again, we're all trying to figure this out. We are all trying to figure this out as we go. We are all trying to figure the whole thing out. We'll see. We've got a lot of time, and hopefully they tweak it from here. The only thing I ask is please don't turn it into 16 teams yet. Just let this thing be what it is. Just let it exist the way that it is. Let it be how it wants to be. And let's get a decent sample size before we start going in and going, well, we need to add more teams. We need to do this. We need to do that. Like, let's let this go for 3-4 years. Let's see what this looks like, this playoff, and we'll go from there. But boy, right now, this is a booming success. I love every last bit of it. And the Ohio State Buckeyes look like the best team in college football. And they look like they're peaking at the right time. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. We bring in our buddy Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports at noon. Kevin Stefanski, a little after 1 o'clock, 1:30, somewhere in between there. Jeremy Fowler joining us at 1 as well from ESPN. Dan Menigan, Baskin and Phelps, 93 The Fan.